Got to tell you what the kind of the commotion was about. Miss Stacy, Josh Rickard's wife, called, and they've taken Brother Robert to the emergency room. He's got a where they took that, made that incision in his stomach, and got that fatty tissue to put behind the ear. They had a drain tube and thing in there, and it started bleeding. And they've got the bleeding stopped, but they're going on to the emergency room with him anyway. And so we want to be in prayer about that. In fact, Brother Andy, you pray for Brother Robert. Would you do it? Yes, Lord. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to try to preach. Can I borrow your glasses, sweetheart? Bring her glasses up here for me, Jacob. I left mine at the house. I'm going to tell you what. I lose my head, but wasn't fastened on my shoulders. Looks like John Lennon. Now, it's just a joke, folks. If we can't take a joke, I mean, right day in the morning, I mean, it's everybody knows he's an old man, he's about to die, and
he's dead already. Somebody died a few years ago.
Really? Well, you can see how much I keep up with the news. Y'all know more about it now than you're laughing at me. All right, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 1 tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And we'll try to bring the thought the Lord's laid on our heart tonight. Nothing new, I'm sure, that you've never heard, but it's here in our text. And as Dr. Seitler used to try to teach us, when you come to a text and you've plowed on it before, it must mean the Lord wants you to plow on it again. And so drop the plow down and keep on plowing. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And let's please stand together when you find your place there in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read two verses. I'm going to begin reading, if I can see in my Bible. My Bible's been written on some here. Verse number 22 and verse number 23. And Brother Peter is writing here, and he said, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart." It don't end there. Fervently. There's no comma. There's no colon after the word heart. So we're to love with a pure heart fervently. Then he goes on to say, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Amen. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so let's pause to pray. Our Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the privilege we have to be back in the house of God tonight. I do pray for Brother Robert. I pray that you'll bless him and help him. I pray, Lord, you'll stop that bleeding. I pray, Father, you'll give the doctors wisdom as they arrive at the emergency room. And ask you to help Miss Sue during this time as well with comfort. And give them both strength. Help them, I pray, to lean upon Thee. To depend upon you in this hour, help the family that's here to put their faith, their confidence, their trust in Thee, knowing that all things are well. And we'll thank you for that. Bless me now as I stand to preach. May the power of the Spirit of God rest upon me. I pray for liberty and power and unction tonight. May souls, precious souls, be turned from the gates of hell and the jaws of death unto a living God. that they might be saved, and may your people be blessed and refreshed in spirit. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. The Bible said there in verse number 22, see that you love one another with a pure heart. And then Brother Peter said fervently. And I'm not going to labor on that word necessarily tonight. But I simply want to bring a little three-point message on the thought of brotherly love. I certainly believe that it's something that is needed in the hour that we're living in. And especially when it comes to loving our brothers and sisters in Christ fervently. Not just loving them, but fervently. And, you know, brotherly love is taught throughout the Bible. And if you preach on either the love of God or the love of the brotherhood much, you're going to be criticized by some of the brethren. But I'll tell you, it is in the Bible, and it's necessary for the hour that we're living in. In fact, and you know this, now abideth faith, hope, charity, but the greatest of these is charity. And our love for one another is an example to the world around us that we are the children of God. I want to say more about that in just a moment. But there's one crowd that believes, well, if I speak in an unknown tongue, the world is going to know that I'm a Christian. Well, the Bible said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Right. And then there are those that champion their separation. And God knows my heart, we ought to be separated from the world and sanctified unto God. But I'm simply saying the Bible said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And there's others that boast on their self-righteousness and many, many things that they boast on to try to convince somebody that they're saved by the grace of God. Have you ever heard somebody get up in a testimony meeting and testify for somebody else that they're saved? And their life that they're trying to, the person they're trying to testify about their life doesn't prove out at all that they're saved. Simply because they've never shown any love at all for the brethren. The Bible said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Now, I want to begin by saying that brotherly love is a virtue that has been taught since the early days of Christ's earthly ministry. He came to the earth bringing the love of God. And he came teaching that men ought to love one another. That there ought to be a love in our heart for one another. It was passed on to the apostles. And then it was written in the epistles or the Christian church letters. And it was preserved for you and I today. And I'm amazed at how many times we find that term in the Bible and how much the Bible deals with the God loving us and us loving Him and then you and I loving one another. I want to say this to you tonight. If we really loved each other like the Bible declares that we ought to, it would clear up a whole lot of problems in each of our lives. Love worketh no ill to its neighbor. I'll get there in a minute. Love covereth a multitude of sins. I mean, I could just go on and on and on. There's a great deal of things in the Bible that talks about Christian love. And it's all through the Word of God. And it's preserved there for you and I today. Therefore, it is to be practiced by Christ's people in these modern times that we're living in. And I want to say that to you again. It ought to be practiced by the people of God. And I know some of you this morning probably thought that what I brought to you in the morning hour was a mean message. But it really wasn't mean. Behind it was brotherly love. I preached in order to try to help you keep your family out of hell and to be able to raise your children right and teach them properly out of the Word of God and set a right example before them, be an influence to them that they might follow in your footsteps rather than following in the footsteps of a peer group that they have that's out in the world today. When you rather your children follow in your influence than you would John Lennon and the rest of the hound dogs, I mean Beatles. Huh? You'd be amazed at what those men created in America when they came here. And you'd be amazed at the people that idolized them and followed them, and their influence was greater on our society in that day than what their own parents were. And you'd be amazed today at the people that were influenced by Elvis Presley. I mean, they idolized that man. In fact, he had a greater influence on their life than what their parents have on their life. Come on in the house. And some of them grow up being old people like I am, and they still think the King's alive somewhere today. There is a King alive today, but His name ain't Elvis, it's Jesus. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that King is in hell, but the King I know is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, you may not like that tonight, but I'm telling you that is an absolute fact from the Word of God. Somebody said, well, it don't say Elvis is in hell. No, but I'm telling you that it does say those that live like Elvis lived are in the lake of fire this evening. Amen right there. I wasn't trying to be mean. I was trying to help you and your family. What I preached today was love. Amen. That's right. Now, it's to be practiced by God's people in modern times. It is one virtue that can be easily recognized by those around us. And it sets us apart from a sinful world that appears to be divided on every issue of life. I want to say that love is one thing that identifies you and I to that world out there, that we've got the goods of what we say that we have. Amen. 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 Thank God for separation. I think men ought to get their hair cut. Some of them go to extremes and shave it like a one boy I know in here. I'll let him off the hook. Amen. But I'm serious now. I think that we ought to have biblical standards, but I'm here to tell you I can name you a crowd that's got all kinds of standards, but their doctrine is out of the pit of hell. And just because you've got a certain standard does not guarantee you, or guarantee the world around you, that you're saved by the grace of God. And some of that crowd that claim to be saved by their standards hate you and I with a passion tonight. That's right. They don't show much love. Oh, no, but I'm telling you, hey, if we'll follow in the footsteps of Jesus, we'll have love one for another. I don't know anybody He didn't love. Judas Iscariot betrayed Him and sent Him to the cross, and yet when Judas kissed Him, he said, friend, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Friend? Called Him his friend, and he had just betrayed Him. I wonder tonight in this church if there's people in here that feel like they've been betrayed by somebody out there, and yet you could not call them your friend. I want to say on the authority of the Word of God, if you can't do that, you got a problem as big as theirs is. Amen. That's right. I know people talk about how much they love the brotherhood, but they have no forgiving spirit about them at all. Amen. Come on now. They don't. Hey, they have absolutely no forgiving spirit about them at all. Amen. They will go to the grave with a grudge. Amen. If you go to the grave with a grudge, I'm going to tell you, you're going to stand in jeopardy at the judgment seat of Christ of losing everything that you ever labored for. Can't go to the grave with a grudge, ladies and gentlemen. Be a good night to bury the grudges and get on an altar and thoroughly get right with the Lord and right with one another. Amen. Come on in the house and begin to show a Christian love for one another and prove to the world around us that we've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the marvelous grace of God. I'm telling you, if the grace of God is operating down in your soul, there is going to be a love manifested on the outside somewhere. Amen. That's right. Boy, I'm telling you, we're live wires now. This love flows, get this now, from a pure soul. That's what he said. Seeing you have purified your soul. You can't, hey, love is the purest thing in this universe. Now you think on that. I didn't dream that up yesterday. Love is pure. Somebody said, how do you know? Because God is love. Amen. And there's no one in as pure as our Lord. In fact, there is no spot in Him at all. No stain, no sin, no blemish, no nothing. Amen. So love is a very pure thing. That's right. And it's got to flow from a pure soul. That's what the Bible said. It flows from obedience to the truth. Amen. We don't have a right to lay claim to brotherly love if we're not obeying the truth. Amen. That is in that Bible. May I say to you tonight that obedience along with love is one of the great tests of whether you're really redeemed by the grace of God or not. Now, come on. I'm going to get to this in a minute. You can talk out the corner of your mouth and talk about loving everybody in this hound dog, but if there's no obedience in your life and no purity in your life doesn't match up with what you say you have, and that also will terminate your testimony before mankind. Amen. And then, not only obedience to the truth, it can only be carried out fully through the work of the Holy Spirit. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Amen. Through the Spirit. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Amen. Listen to these verses and I'll get into my message. I won't be long. Romans 13:6. Owe no man anything but love for one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. You know why Christ fulfilled the law? He loved another, many another's. You and I. Amen. Love is the fulfilling of the law. And he says, owe no man anything but love one another. Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy body and soul and spirit. And the second one is about the same thing. And love thy neighbor as thyself. For in these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And he just got done saying that love worketh no ill to his neighbor. That is, I am not going to do anything contrary to my neighbor or against my neighbor or that offends my neighbor or hurts my neighbor if I love him in a biblical manner. Amen. Is anybody listening? Yeah. Amen. And then he said in Hebrews 13:1, and I like this because it's got another meaning behind it. Let brotherly love continue. Right. Now, Paul wrote that, let brotherly love continue. It appears to me that there's a possibility of brotherly love fading away. In the last days, the hearts of many will wax cold, or the love of many will wax cold. Are we not living in those last days? Maybe Paul wrote that verse of Scripture for the last day, for the day that you and I are living in, ladies and gentlemen. Let brotherly love continue because there is a possibility that the devil is going to do all he can to drive wedges between people and cause cold hearts and indifference in our hearts and deprive us of that affection and that love that we can draw. And by the way, the strength that we can draw from one another.
Right, preacher. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Let me ask you something. Who do you love more than anybody else in the world besides Jesus? I'm waiting. There's only two answers to it. Your wife and your neighbor.
Amen.
Huh? Well, you love your wife as Christ loved the church. But outside of your family, who are you? Your neighbor.
Right.
Your neighbor. And love worketh no ill to his neighbor.
Amen.
And we ought to let that brotherly love continue.
Yes.
Now I'm telling you something, friend, we're living in an hour. Come on in the house now. We're living in an hour when churches are cold as a hound dog's nose in January in Montana. And you know why? Because our hearts are cold.
Amen.
You know why our hearts are cold? Because we don't come through those doors loving our brothers with a pure heart fervently. You really come through that door boiling in the heart for Jesus and for His love.
Go ahead now.
I'm going to tell you, we did make a difference in the house of God. We wouldn't sit now. We wouldn't sit like we're zombies.
Amen.
A boiling heart. I never seen anything boil that didn't move.
Right.
Praise God. I'm going to have to shake some of you to find out if you're still alive or not.
Amen.
Boiling water moves.
Amen.
A boiling heart moves.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if we got the kind of love that Peter is talking about, we'll come through those doors loving our Lord, but we'll also come through those doors loving our church and loving one another, and we'll be ready and in tune with God to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Now, listen carefully. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood. And then 1 John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another.
Amen.
Now I've got 3 points and a few sub-points. That is, unless we don't do a little more than we're doing right now, and I'll create a point or two.
Amen.
Notice first of all, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. To start with, our love is to be unfeigned. That is, it is not to be hypocritical. Friend, there is a hypocritical love, and I'm going to give you a couple illustrations of it. Hey, we don't love in word only, but in deed and in truth. It's what the Bible says that we love in. And I'm here to tell you, there is a hypocritical love today. It's one thing to say I love you, and it's another thing really to have that love abiding down in your heart.
Yes.
How many men, how many women have passed through the altars of churches and stood and stared one another in the face and put them rings on and said, oh, big tears, crocodile tears run down their face. Oh, I love you and I love you. And I'm telling you, you would thank, praise God, that they had the greatest love affair for one another that's ever been since Clark Gable and Scarlett O'Hara. Come on in the house and say amen. And I'm here to tell you it's not long down the road until that love fades away and one of them's out the door, they're in divorce court. I'm going to tell you what the problem was. That little love affair they had was a hypocritical type love. It was a fiend love, a love without meaning at all. That's right. Amen. Now, hiding. That love unfeigned. A fiend love is one that's hiding under a false appearance. Now, hey, it's concealment. It's concealment of our real opinions. Sentiments or purpose by assuming a false or a counterfeit appearance. Concealment of our real opinions. Come on now, surely you understand that without explaining it. We tell somebody that we really love them, but we're concealing our true opinion about them.
Amen.
We're not being honest and open and upfront with them. Now I'm telling you, we live, hey, come on now, we live in a society in the church today that have clammed up their heart to one another. Amen.
Yes.
And I'm afraid a whole lot of the opinions and things that we're talking about is just really a fiend love or a hypocritical love that really isn't based on the love of God at all.
Right. Amen.
You ever tell somebody you love them, you're really concealing your real opinion? That you don't love them at all? You ever shake their hand when they come in the front door? You say, God bless you, brother, love you. I love you too. And you know down in your heart you don't love them?
Great.
Was there ever anybody in the church you had a problem with? You had a problem with, and you know you had a little problem with them, and told them that you loved them? When really down in your heart, and I'll just use John, don't want to use Leroy there, he might get that. But really down in your heart, hey, that's not the real opinion you have about them? Come on now. That is a fiend love. We are to love, our love is to be unfiend. That is without hypocrisy. We're not to conceal, hey, we're not to love, to tell somebody we love them, and at the same time, we're concealing our real opinions or really how we feel about those individuals. And I hate to tell you this, but I'd venture to say 99% of the Baptists are like that. I'm wondering how many preachers have had fallen out. And they've sat down in a little office somewhere, an automobile seat somewhere, and they've talked to one another, and they've buried the hatchet and got things right. And the last thing they say to one another when they leave, brother, I love you. I love you too. And they leave, and they may have acted like they got things settled, but down in their heart, they didn't get nothing settled. It's just a false opinion, and it's real. Hey, they really don't love that person like they say they're loving that person. I'm going to tell you, friend, love buries the hatchet. Love don't dig her back up 6 weeks down the road. Most folks that bury the hatchet go back about 6 weeks later and dig it up. Come on now. Hallelujah, we won't be here long. Listen carefully. Now I want to say this. Better beware of inordinate... Get a hold of this now. Beware of inordinate admiration of a particular few in the church. When we passionately admire a clique, listen carefully, we're apt to despise them that differ from us. I was hammering and have hammered and I'm still hammering on cliques in the house of God. Because where we have a little clique and we love that little clique, if we're not careful, we will wind up despising those that differ from us in one little way or the other. Simply because we've rounded up our little clique over here in the corner. And we're not going to fellowship with nobody else. I wouldn't give a flip what they say, what they do. Praise God, I've got my four and no more. And that's all she wrote, buddy. And I'm telling you, and the truth of the matter is, hey, we've got an unfeigned love. Or if we pass them in the hallway, we'll shake the head, tell them we love them. But there is an unfeigned love. There is a fiend hypocritical love there.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody? I was going to try to be sweet, but y'all won't let me. Blame it on Benny. Shouldn't have got that stupid haircut. If you're not careful, you get with your little clique. And you, hey, it won't just be, hey, you'll despise everybody else in the church. Well, I don't like what he does. You don't have to like what he does. If he's saved and in love with Jesus, you don't have to like everything somebody does. Well, I don't like the way he does things. I don't like the way he parts his hair. I don't like the way he cuts his hair. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way he acts. I don't like the way he sits. You don't have to like it. All you got to do is love him because he is your brother.
Amen.
Praise God, if I based my love for people on the way some folks acted, I'm telling you, I'd like to take a ball bat, bless God, and beat about half the folks I know about half to death with it. That's right. Sometimes we act a little foolish. Somebody said, you mean I've got to love somebody when they act foolish? Yep. You're saved.
Amen.
Got to love somebody when they've talked about me? Yep. If you're both saved.
Amen.
Got to love somebody when they've done me wrong? Yep. If you're both saved. That's exactly right. Come on in the house, boys and girls. There's a whole lot more to Christianity than coming to church two or three times a week and sitting on a church pew. Brother, it is time that we learn to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. If all we do is hear the Word, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I don't know anybody that's personally, I know, done me wrong, that if they come back and apologize to me, I would not forgive them.
Right. Amen.
Based upon that Bible,
yes, sir,
and the love that I have in my heart for the Lord Jesus and His church, I'm compelled to do that. I don't care who they are or what they've done. Somebody said, preacher, you're talking silly. No, I'm not talking silly.
No, sir.
I'm telling you right.
Amen.
Well, I just don't believe I could ever forgive them. You're the one with the problem.
Amen.
Not them, friend. Your problem's bigger than theirs. If you possess an unforgiven spirit in your heart, the bigger problem lies with you and not with them.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Hall, Brother Thompson say, come on in the house, boys and girls. Praise God. Now, listen carefully. Avoid eager and passionate disputes. In these, charity is always lost and truth is seldom or never found. Somebody said, what are you saying? I'm talking about little fusses. I've seen it happen in camp meetings. I can name you one instance right now. I won't, at a camp meeting, when myself and three or four other preachers was talking, and we were kindly at differences. The three of us had an agreement on one subject in the Bible, and the other one, the fourth one, had a disagreement. And we're kind of in disagreement with one another. Well, the following year at that same camp meeting, this fellow that was in the disagreement come up to us three guys, said, I want y'all to know that I got wind that what we were talking about got out and said, one of you guys been running your mouth about me. And I said, well, friend, I don't know what you're talking about, but it sure wasn't me. He just stood there. And when he got up to preach, he unloaded, and about 95% of it fell on me. I got up the next morning. I wasn't unloading on. I just preached a message God had laid on my heart before I ever got down there on revival. I asked the moderator of the meeting. I said, if I done wrong, I'm sorry. He said, you didn't do wrong. You just told the truth. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying four men in the middle of a church called to preach, pastoring churches, and they get in a little dispute over a little frivolous thing that don't amount to a huge booger, and it creates friction and havoc, and I'll tell you what it'll do, it will separate married friends, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Amen.
Our little opinions and discussions and arguments that we have about little things is best. And I'm not talking about you, Brother Ricky. I saw you grinning out in what you're talking about you and Chad. I wasn't even thinking about that. Now, I'm serious. I wasn't. I was thinking about the situation with me because the guy that happened was one of my dear friends. And it really troubled me. You know what I'm saying? And he got up to me and basically blowed me out. And I didn't say a word. And I wouldn't tell you who it was. Don't ask. Stay away from those things. Truth. Hey. Charity is always lost, and truth is seldom or never found in fusses and discussions about the Bible. I sat down there in that class, and y'all know I'm in a class down there, so I'll tell you this. That doctor looked across the table, seven of us, and said, "There's two things in this class we don't ever discuss. Anybody know what they are?" I said, "Religion and politics." He said, "You got it." He said, "They'll lead to real problems." And ain't that right? And I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll create a vacuum between very friends, folks.
Right.
It'll create a vacuum there. And I'm telling you, somewhere along the line, those couples are going to have to get together and rehash that thing. On the basis of, hey, it don't matter whether I was right or you was right, because what we were discussing don't amount to a flip. What amounts to a flip is that we're saved by the grace of God. We've been to Calvary. We're both going to heaven. Praise God. Let's live together and love the Lord and unify ourselves and march on to glory together.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let's say something else here. Our words can be smoother than butter while our hearts are drawing swords.
Amen.
Our politeness is often only skin deep. Somebody said, "What are you talking about, Brother Hall?" Well, I'm going to tell you, if you ever see Eglon, ask him about it. When you see Ehud, ask Ehud about the message he had for Eglon in his inner chamber. "I've got a message for thee, O king. I've brought a message of delight for you." And all the time that left-handed man had a sword on his thigh and drove that dagger out and rammed it in that fat man in his stomach until the dirt run out of him, the Bible says. Words smoother than honey. Polite and sweet. But it's love. It's unfeigned love. What are you going to do about a guy by the name of Joab when he walked up to a Amasa and said, "Are you in health, my brother?" He done the same thing to Abner.
Amen.
Smooth words. Politeness. But I'm going to tell you, smooth words and politeness don't mean anything unless we put those words and politeness into action. And that action is called charity. And charity flows from a heart of love.
Amen.
Come on now.
Yes,
praise God, people.
Amen.
Somebody, why don't you women run a lap or something, dude? Praise the Lord. Now,
amen.
May I say, secondly, our love is not only unfeigned. Now, I'm fixing to lose some of you right here.
They
ain't already. But our love is unified. Being born again. Lost people cannot love. Don't know how. But our love is unified. How's it unified, Brother Hall? By birth. Being born again. Praise God. We're brothers in Christ. Amen. We're unified by the bond of the Spirit of God. Amen. We dwell in unity, ladies and gentlemen. There may not be unity, but we dwell unified. You can have unity without being unified. That's right. You tie two tomcat's tails together and throw them over a clothesline. You got unity, but you sure ain't going to... They're unified, but there ain't going to be much unity amongst them.
Right.
I pouted up, didn't I?
Huh?
Definitely no harmony. But I'm telling you, we are unified by the new birth. Whether you like it or not. Old Brother Bill Stock said something. He's having it out with a bunch of folks up there where he's from. He said, now, Brother Gary, you know how he talks, Brother Gary, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I'm going to tell you what I told him, Brother, when you get to heaven, move over because I'm coming.
Amen.
We're going to have to be there together. Isn't it a shame for somebody that's going to live in eternity together to fight and fuss and argue while we're here in a temporary location? It looks like we learn to love while we're here and get in practice for over there. Come on now. Amen. Now, I won't say we're unified by the new birth. We possess the same Father.
Amen.
Brother Steve, go over and smack your sister. Go back there and smack Ricky. Benny, get over here. Where's your wife at? Find Lisa and smack her upside the head. What y'all waiting on? I venture to say, if Patty walked over there and put the hammer on both of them, they wouldn't turn a hand. You know why? They got the same father and the same mother. And they're all saved by the grace of God. Now I'm telling you, people's got the same father and the same mother. Don't fuss and feud and fight all the time. Ain't that right? I thought you would surely, goodness, be on your feet during this message.
Amen.
And you are as dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. Praise God. Listen to what Brother Paul writes in Galatians 4:6. He said, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. Into your hearts. In other words, the Spirit of God is in the heart of every born-again child of God, and with it, that Spirit that's there is crying, Abba, Father. Hey, we all got the same Father, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
We all got the same Spirit.
Amen.
But we can't get along with one another. Shame on us.
Amen. That's right.
By the way, you say bury the hatchet, it probably has grown into an axe by now. Double bitter. Get them coming and going. Come on now. Now, we have the same Father. We possess the same faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. and that not of yourselves. We all have the same Father. We all have the same faith. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And we all, possess the same future. He said in Psalm 50 and verse 5, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Have you made a covenant with him by sacrifice?
Amen.
Are you a saint?
Amen.
Then I hope we'll all act like that.
Yes, sir.
Really, I do. And have a caring, loving heart for one another. Now, here's where I'm going to lose you. Everybody agrees that we're the same by birth. But we're not only unified by birth. Now, this is going to get you. We are unified by baptism. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen.
Amen.
Ain't that right or not? Now, here's why I'm going to lose some of you, and I could name one fella I know I'm going to lose. For we all, by one Spirit, are baptized into one body. Now, I know there are those that take that to believe mean a spiritual baptism. We're all in that big universal body. But that body in the book of Corinthians there is talking about that local visible church. And why do folks think that there can be a spiritual baptism, but it would be impossible for the Holy Ghost to baptize every believer in this building tonight into this one little local body that we have here? Now, I lost some of you, didn't I? When I baptized you up there, I baptized you into this church. I baptized you into this body. I baptized you into this fellowship and identified you with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not a universalist. I don't believe there's two churches. There's one. And it's local and it's visible. I have not been baptized into Maranatha or Grace or Pond River. Somebody said you wasn't baptized here, but I moved here by letter. And once you're baptized in a church of like faith, you can move to another church by letter. And that letter from that other church said these people are coming there in good standing. They have been faithful. They have been tithers. They have not caused trouble. They're not dissenters. They have not caused commotion. They're good people. Now I want to ask you something. If you've got a problem, if you don't believe the Holy Spirit of God can lead people to a church, I don't have any problem at all believing the Spirit of God has led me to the places that I have been in my life in the house of God. None at all. And I'm going to tell you something. We live in a generation where our mobility has been revolutionized. When the Bible was living, they walked or rode a donkey. They didn't move around much. Even back in the 50s and the 60s, when a church was started, people in that community was saved and baptized into that church. And by the way, there wasn't 15 on every corner, and so therefore it was either tough it out there or else. You can think what you want to think about me, but I don't think God puts 99 church Baptist churches in one city. Especially if they're preaching what most of them around here preach, and I hope they're listening. Most of them don't preach. They never tell their people anything about sin.
Amen.
Or righteousness.
Right. Amen. Or
what?
Repentance.
Or repentance. Now, I'm going to tell you, you take a church out here that's in false doctrine, you think I believe God put that mess there?
Right.
Not for a minute, buddy.
Amen.
I'm talking about Baptist churches.
Amen.
I'm not talking about the others. I'm talking about Baptist churches.
Amen.
I'm going, hey, come on now.
I'm with you.
Why do you think there's so much church hopping going on? Well, I get dissatisfied over here. I'll run the course over here. I'll run the course down here. I'll run the course down here. There's some of them around here just about run all their courses, and some of them have come to the end of the ropes.
Amen.
I've met some of them recently.
Go ahead.
That I know for a fact 25 years ago was members of this church right here. And in my opinion right now, they're not going to church anywhere. But they've run the course of every church, every Baptist church in this community. And they're not going anywhere right now. If I had time, I could take you over to the Bible and show you a verse of Scripture where it talks about the shepherds. The shepherds, they take folks in, and they take them in. And if you take them in and they're wrong with God, they'll never get right.
Amen.
That's the Bible.
Amen.
I'm not going to take time to try to locate it. But I'm telling you, you take somebody that grows disgruntled here and they run off to another church and join up with another church or go to another church, I'm here to tell you they will never get right with God because they found their roosting place, buddy.
Amen.
We live in a generation, if I don't like this, then I'll try this, and if I don't like this, then I'll run over here. God help us!
Amen.
God saved people and baptizes them into that local assembly,
amen,
and God intends for people to bloom where they're planted.
Amen.
Miss Ruth is sitting right there, and she can testify to this. When I first came here, she was not a member of this church, right? What did I tell you when I came here? A lot of things, didn't I? I said, you'll either have to join this church or go. I'm not going to pay somebody a salary to take their tithe down here and give it to another church. Nobody. Sorry. Now see, we're unified by birth.
Amen.
But we're unified by baptism. We're unified by body.
Amen.
Why do you think, now come on, why do you think when Jesus said that they twain shall be one flesh? One body, friend. Like the count I had of it, twain being one meant one.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
And whether you like it or not, we're all in one body here. That's hard for you to understand. That's why when half the church is missing,
yes,
and half the church is not here,
yes,
whether it be for one reason or another reason, how can a body function? How can I function right? I've seen them boys. I saw a boy, a big black boy down there at the Nashville a few months ago now. Really, it's been 2 or 3 months ago. I seen him walking down the aisle, and I said, I'm not believing what I'm seeing. He must have been 6'6", and he was almost as broad at the shoulders as he was tall.
Amen.
But he didn't have an arm on either side, from to here. Took off the shoulder. Come walking down through there. And I looked at that black man and I said, my heart, God bless you, sir. My heart goes out to you. I want to ask you something. Do you think that boy will ever function again correctly? He can't! Part of his body's gone! Oh, but here's our thought today. Well, we'll just patch it up, give him some homemade arms, and he'll learn to use them. But homemade arms is not God-given arms. And I'm telling you, although part of the body may not be here, if our arm is missing, we might create some arm in here that's made out of something besides spirit and get by with something, but we cannot function as a body.
That's a good answer. Yeah. Great, preacher.
It's an impossibility, friend.
Yes, sir.
And God's made us one body. Like it, lump it, hump it, or dump it. Bump it, jump it, or any other thing. That's right.
Amen.
I don't understand all that. But I'm telling you the truth. And I understand that people are sick from time to time. I understand that. Now, I know that people have complications and people have problems. I do myself. And if you want me here on the 23rd, I'll be here, but I don't know if you want to see me on the... Whatever they do to lay you out, I'm going to tell you. I might be floating on cloud nine. I might be a little doty headed. Sleepy. Be all right, won't it, Brother Leroy? God, I let Leroy preach. So we're unified by birth. And we're unified by baptism. And we're unified by body. Now I'm going to say this. I'm done. Our love is not, I know this is just a little, our love is under attack. That's the third point. Our love is under attack. Brother Steve read in Sunday school this morning and brought out very adequately Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Then he goes on talking about putting on all the armor of God. Why? Because we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. And here's what I told him. Hey, our to be strong. That's us! How hard are we to be strong? In the Lord's power, and in the Lord's might. Now come on in the house. Those things are... I say weapons of offense, if I can use it that way. But then he goes on to list a whole bunch of armor that we put on for defensive purposes. Then he talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is another, that sword is not just to defend ourselves. That sword is to go on the attack with. I learned that some time ago. It's another offensive weapon, not a defensive weapon, that sword. But here's what I wanted to say. When he talks about us, why does he tell us right there to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might? And then begins to list all that armor, what we're wrestling with. I'm going to say this to you, and I told the men this, and you women better get a hold of it. I'm telling you right now, you don't have to wait. You don't have to sit around and wait for the devil or the flesh or the world to carry the battle to you, friend. They're going to carry it to you.
Right, amen. Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you, the devil is doing everything he can do, and the flesh is doing everything it can do, and sin, the world, doing everything it can do to attack the love that God's people have for one another and destroy that love.
Amen.
Separate chief friends. Separate fellowships, split churches. God have mercy. How many churches? I remember, Brother Robert and him, Cater and Ann's here tonight. They can tell you how many people used to be at Madisonville Baptist Temple. What would you say, Brother Cater? At one time, 12, 13, 1400 people. I know the church would seat 12 or 1400! And it filled up!
Right.
You think that it just dissolved that way simply because nobody wanted to be there? Oh no. The devil got his foot in the door. He brought the attack.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now a lot of those people, you can't find them with a radar gun.
Go ahead now.
When I first became acquainted with that church, they run 105 people. And Dr. Jerry Clark was a pastor. We ain't quite got that many tonight. And we wouldn't have nobody but 8 or 10 folk if we hadn't picked up a few along the way. Everybody listening? I'm talking about being under attack. Our love is being under attack by the flesh. By the flesh. Do you realize who Paul and Barnabas was? Two of the greatest missionaries that ever lived and had a great love for one another. I mean, Paul and Barnabas loved one another. But when they got ready to go on a missionary journey in the book of Acts, chapter number 15, they began to fuss about John Mark and argue. There's what I was telling you about a while ago. There comes that fussing and that argument. They began to fuss and argue about John Mark. And the Bible said, and the contention, how does contention come? Only by pride.
Yes, sir.
There had to be pride. I don't care if his name was Paul and Barnabas. There was pride there somewhere. And if it can creep into their lives, it can creep into our lives.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Was that contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. Oh, Lord. There's the flesh. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. The flesh should do everything that he can do. To put a wedge between you women. Put a wedge between us men. Take something I've said up here and listen to the devil or your flesh.
Right.
When I didn't mean at all what you thought that I meant and it ticked you off. Come on now.
Right.
It ticked you off and that little old heart of love began to grow cold. And instead of loving with a pure heart fervently, we loved hardly at all.
Right.
Because the flesh got in the way. I want to say number two, not only will the flesh attack us, the false brethren will. Paul talked about him and Titus going to Jerusalem, and he talked about because of false brethren unawares. False brethren. I won't say that again. False brethren. Brought in unawares. In other words, men that were not saved at all. Brought in by who? None other than the devil.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And attack the brotherhood or the membership of the church. Don't tell me it don't happen. I've seen it over and over again. And generally that crowd will always drag somebody out the door with them. Never been around nobody like that, have you? That just loved you to death and just sugar pie, honey pie. And then all of a sudden, as long as you was preaching on somebody else's sin, everything was all right. But when you got on their sin, boy, things begin to change then.
Yeah.
I've seen it here. I've preached against families in here and they've endured it. And folks stand up. Amen, you and amen, you, but get on their family.
Go ahead now.
Amen. They're gone.
Amen.
Folks, brethren, unaware. People, buddy, that you're just not aware of, that you think is a blessing. I've seen a lot of them come that I thought was a blessing, and when they left, I realized there's a curse.
Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. Somebody said, I'm about done. Somebody said, I mean, thank God. Now listen. And by foolish assumptions. Our love is under attack by foolish assumptions. You say, what do you mean for just like a minute ago? Assuming things that are not true.
Amen.
You ever been there? You know something? That goes plumb back to the garden when the devil said, "You shall not surely die." And Eve just assumed that that was right. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of folks that have gotten upset, cold, toward the preacher or people in the church because they assumed something that was not true. God help us.
Amen.
To learn to love one another with a pure heart, fervently. You know how we can do that? Because we purified our souls by obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren.
Amen.
Our love is to be unfeigned, unified, and it's under attack. And if the devil's got his way about it, he'll succeed one of these days. He'll succeed. Let's stand together.